From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 4 and verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He who is a believer in Jesus finds enough in his Lord to satisfy him now and to content him forevermore. The believer is not the man whose days are weary for want of comfort and whose nights are long from absence of heart-cheering thought, for he finds in religion such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation, that he is content and happy. Put him in a dungeon, and he will find good company. Place him in a barren wilderness, he will eat the bread of heaven. Drive him away from friendship, he will meet the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Blast all his gourds, and he will find shadow beneath the rock of ages. Sap the foundation of his earthly hopes, but his heart will still be fixed, trusting in the Lord. The heart is as insatiable as the grave till Jesus enters it, and then it is a cup full to overflowing. There is such a fullness in Christ that he alone is the believer's all. The true saint is so completely satisfied with the all-sufficiency of Jesus that he thirsts no more, except it be for deeper draughts of the living fountain. In that sweet manner, believer, shalt thou thirst. It shall not be a thirst of pain, but of loving desire. Thou wilt find it a sweet thing to be panting after a fuller enjoyment of Jesus' love. One in days of yore said, I have been sinking my bucket down into the well full often, but now my thirst after Jesus has become so insatiable that I long to put the well itself to my lips and drink right on. Is this the feeling of thine heart now, believer? Dost thou feel that all thy desires are satisfied in Jesus, and that thou hast no want now but to know more of him and to have closer fellowship with him? Then come continually to the fountain, and take of the water of life freely. Jesus will never think you take too much, but will ever welcome you, saying, Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
How marvelous are the works of the Lord! How excellent are his ways! How wonderful is his glory and fame! Ever the same, great is the name of the Lord! How marvelous are the works of the Lord! His ways, how
have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Law of God, he continues a message entitled, The Foundation of the Ten Commandments. In giving the Decalogue to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, God said simply, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The chief reason for men to obey God's commandments is because he commands them to do so. He is the ultimate authority, whom men cannot ignore without incurring divine judgment. He, and he alone, has the perfect right to command obedience of his creatures. Now to continue this message, the foundation of the Ten Commandments, here is Dr. Cairns.
The second thing I'll note from the text is that God has the perfect right to command us. He says, I am the Lord. Now let me try to put this very simply. This is as if someone had challenged the Lord. You are commanding. By what right do you command? And his answer is, I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That is all God says to establish his right to command. This is his authority. It is not assumed, it is not usurped. It is not merely the authority of superior might or power. This is natural and essential. It belongs to the very nature of God. In other words, what he's saying is, when you understand who I am and what I am, then you will see that that establishes my authority. This is something the Lord never tired of underlining in his word. When you have opportunity, read from Leviticus 18 through to chapter 26, and you'll find that the Lord there speaks of many particular commands in many particular areas. He was giving these directives to the children of Israel. If my memory's right, I did this computation in another Bible, so I'm speaking now from memory. But if my memory's right, when the Lord says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, and He gives a commandment, 47 separate times He adds, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God, or I am the Lord their God. But that kind of statement is made almost 50 times, compressed into those few brief chapters, when the Lord is expounding His word and He's giving His directions. He's saying, remember, I am the Lord. That's what establishes God's authority to command us. The larger catechism, some of you think you've done a great job in memorizing the shorter catechism, and so you have if you've done so. But the larger catechism is a great expansion of the doctrines taught in the shorter catechism. And dealing with this preamble to the Ten Commandments, the larger catechism says here, God manifests His sovereignty as being Jehovah, the eternal, immutable, and almighty God, having His being in and of Himself, and giving being to all His words. And the catechism there seems to indicate all the saving revelations of Himself, giving being to all His words and works. If only we could grasp or begin to grasp the immensity of this statement, I am the Lord, I think we would fall before Him and acknowledge His right to command us. Think of this, He is absolute and He is independent of all. He is the great I Am. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. That indicates very clearly, nothing caused God. Understand that. Nothing caused God. I don't want to get off the track, but just since somebody's bound to have read this and their mind will run ahead of me here, I don't like something that many theological writers revel in, many writers in apologetics revel in. I don't like the description of God as the eternal, uncaused, first cause of all things. God is uncaused, but His eternity is not to be looked on as just a cause, because when you necessitate the cause, you necessitate the effect. There's a wee bit of theology for you now. And we are here by the free will of God. He exists of necessity. He is uncaused. Not only is He uncaused, but nothing and no one contributes to His being. God is not upheld by any. He is not enriched by any. He is not strengthened by any. God is. That is the end of the statement. That's what He calls Himself. I am. He is absolutely independent of all. And every other being that exists derives its existence from Him and is dependent upon Him. You remember Paul's words to the Athenians, in Him we live and move and have our being. You remember his words to the Colossians concerning Christ, by or in Him all things consist. And the more we learn through the activities of modern science, the more we enter into the depths of that statement. In him, says Paul, all things cohere. When Paul wrote that, I don't think there was a thinker in the world could begin to plumb the depths of the statement. Even when our authorized version was translated, I don't think there was one translator among them all who could begin to get into the depths of that statement. But the more we learn of the mighty movements within this universe, when you look at it in its greatness, or in a single cell, when you look at it in its minuteness, the more you begin to realize the glory of this statement, in him all things have their coherence, all things hang together. He is the one that holds everything that is in being. He rules over all, he sustains all, so that even a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without him. His will and his word are essential to our very life. The psalmist says in the 33rd Psalm and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And Paul took the next step in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 when he said he upholds all things by the word of his power. So I want you to get the picture. He is the great I Am, independent, absolute, and gaining nothing from any source outside of himself. We are all his creatures, deriving our existence from him and dependent entirely upon him. And his will and word are essential to our very life. And in the light of that, God has the right to command us. The scriptures testify the statutes of the Lord are right. Psalm 19 and 8. In the great 119th Psalm, the Psalm which deals with the Word and law of God, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. The prophet Isaiah quotes Jehovah in chapter 45 and 19. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Hosea, at the end of his prophecy in chapter 14, verse 9, says, the ways of the Lord are right. I want you to understand this, and I realize fully that I am using the word right in two different significances, but nonetheless, they come together in this great truth because he is the absolute God. I am the Lord. I don't depend on you. I give you your life. I sustain you in being. You can't think a thought, even a thought of rebellion, without my power and strength to give you the ability to think. You can't chew a bit of bread. You can't do one ounce of work. You can't take one step. You can't breathe one breath apart from me. You derive your being from me. I sustain you in being. You contribute nothing to God. God gives you everything you are and have. And he says, therefore, I have the right to command, and what I command is always right. God commands us. He has the perfect right to do so. That leads to the third thing, that every man has the inescapable obligation to obey God's commands. As his creatures, we have all received good at his hand. The psalmist says in that 136th psalm that we often like to sing here, especially in Sabbath mornings, he giveth food to all flesh. James tells us that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord Jesus said that God makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. So saints and sinners alike, at least on one level, receive great good at the hand of God. We have a saying that speaks of biting the hand that feeds you. That's what sinners do when they rebel against God, when they kick over the traces of His holy law, when they reject the revelation of His grace. They are actually biting the hand that feeds them as God's creatures who have received great good from Him. We have the inescapable obligation to obey Him. As God's creatures, furthermore, we exist for His pleasure, that is, for His will and His glory. The book of Proverbs tells us in chapter 16 and 4 that the Lord hath made all things for Himself. When Paul was writing to Colossians in chapter 1 and 16, he said, by Him all things are created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by Him and for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. Paul told the church at Rome that of Him, through Him, and to Him, that is for His glory, are all things. In the book of the Revelation, you have the great cry of the glorified saints, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, that is, they exist, and they were created. Now it's one of the great questions of life. Why am I here? Why are you here? The evolutionists want you to believe that you're just part of one ongoing cosmic accident. That's all you are. I defy any honest man to deal with his own consciousness and honestly say, that satisfies my soul. That has the hiss of the serpent about it. It has the brand mark of the devil's lie right on its forehead. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the whole purpose of life? Is it just this rat race that so many people think is life? Did you ever... you think of this sometimes when you're up in an airplane. Of course, the fact that you're 35 or 40,000 feet above it all doesn't mean you're out of it. You're still part of it. Only doing it at 600 miles an hour instead of 50 miles an hour. But you get up there in an airplane, you're going over some great city, especially at rush hour, and you see all these little cars, and they're just like little toys, bumper to bumper. The whole place is like a hive with activity. You stop and ask, what on earth is that all about? What's it all about? When you look at what most people now think they're here for, you can understand why so many people are committing suicide. For if that's life, it doesn't make much sense. But I want to tell you, we are here to do God's will. We are here to bring glory to God's name. That is why He created us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.